When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays?
No. No, man. No, man. I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah, what condition my condition was in.
I woke up this morning with the sundown shining in.
Where's the money, Lebowski? Where's the f***ing money, head?
It's down there somewhere. Let me take another look.
I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then...
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it.
I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky.
Okay, you know, you guys aren't privy to all the new so, you know, that's what you pay me for.
I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Yeah, let's cut through the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
I lost you $60,000. There is no one who wants to make that money back for you more than I do.
There's just one thing, dude.
What's that?
You have to use so many cuss words.
What the f*** are you talking about?
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
I woke up this morning with the sundown.
Going off by Stacks and Jacks. Now, time out. Quick papers on the board. SP Futures up 29. NASDAQ Futures 167. So we were up last night. Then we went down to we're barely up. And now we're up a lot. So this is all with the... President Biden saying he's out on the re-election, which he got a lot of pressure. I think most people probably thought that he was going to do that, but that doesn't mean he was going to. I mean, it took some time and some reflection and a lot of things that had to do with people getting old and people getting sick, and it probably wasn't a very pleasant conversation for him and his people around him to have. And you know, when you start slipping some, it's hard to extrapolate 4 years at that age. I've known people, family and other people's family, where they seem to be fine, they slip a little bit, and all of a sudden you know, it goes fast for some people never.
Was he really fine?
Well, what do you mean by fine? I mean,
I'm not sure. A lot of people have said that.
A lot of people
are
idiots.
It's been pretty obvious for the past however long.
He always had a speaking issue. Like, he always had kind of a stutter.
No. Good morning, everybody.
All right, Kevin, let's tell me how bad the guy's been for 50
he
years.
He has not had an issue getting words out. You know, think back to his debate with Paul Ryan, to a lot of his campaign stuff back when he was vice presidential candidate. When he'd get up there and, you know, he'd threaten people, you know, let's go settle this outside, and he would, you know, embellish his academic record and all that stuff. There was no hesitancy. There was nothing wrong in his speech. This has been obvious this is not for months, this is for years, and you have a large group of people who have been, right up until a couple of weeks ago, defending it, telling us how sharp he really is in private, telling us that the stuff that you were seeing on videos was cheap fakes, and all of that, and it was all going to be fine, and they were going to continue as long as they could, or as long as, you know, indefinitely, until they determined that they were going to lose. And as soon as they were going to lose, that was a bridge too far, and out he goes.
I think we ought to say, how big of a party, when the guy goes, how many party people are going to dance on his grave? I mean, what's the point?
Who's dancing on his grave?
I mean,
he might be dead now.
Right. The degradation.
We haven't heard anything from him.
This starts to happen, and you're the one, Kevin, who always says things happen gradually and all of a sudden. I think that the difference between the State of the Union and 3 weeks ago shows a dramatic decline that was not there quite before. And before that, he may perfectly have been capable of sitting behind the desk in the Oval Office and make decisions, and he might have been fine sitting down and rested.
Tom, there are at least 2 years of videos of him.
I didn't say
ending his lost thought process and going, well, anyway,
I'm not defending him. I could see him grabbing the banister much tighter the last year or two. I'm not an idiot. What I'm saying is, all of a sudden, it started to go real fast.
No, all of a sudden,
the money just ran out.
All of a sudden, it got exposed. They couldn't control his schedule. He made the idiotic challenge to Trump to debate, and the debate was past his basically past his bedtime, past his shutdown time.
Like I just said, what if Reagan would have tried to do the same thing his second term? This happens to a lot of people.
We're not talking about Reagan. We're talking about Joe Biden now.
I'm talking about people getting old, and it became very obvious. And in the end, it became obvious to him and his family, and he's out. So let's just let him go. What's the point of jumping all over the guy at this point?
Did I jump on him, or did I jump on everybody around
him? Okay, I'm gonna say that people were 6 months ago. You've never been there, neither have I. 6 months ago, you might have been able to walk in the Oval Office and have a very cogent conversation with the man.
Yeah, one day, and then the next day you wouldn't. There's I saw Sage Steele.
You seem to know way more about this than I do, and neither one of us ever met the guy.
Don't cut me off. I saw Sage Steele interviewed yesterday, and she said she did, right after Biden became president, she did an interview with him for ESPN, and when they were just talking before the interview, it was evident that he wasn't the same guy. That that something was wrong there. This is not new stuff, and I'm not dancing on Biden's grave. I'm thinking that the people around him, family, politicians, everybody else,
they're the
ones that are the problem, because they put the man through this, and of course, his personal stubbornness and his personal ego was easy for them to feed.
Well, sure it is. At that level, everybody's got that.
Yeah. No, but what kind of family would put him through this?
All right, so what do you think should have happened?
I think he should have announced a long time ago that he wasn't running for a second term.
I think he certainly should have done it a month ago or 6 weeks ago.
He should have done it before the primaries, but instead what they did was they locked everybody else out of the primaries.
They clearly thought... They thought he was going to do better. Why they scheduled a debate at 9 o'clock at night, an hour and a half standing up, I have no idea, man. Who's the brainchild?
Probably because they could see this coming, and enough people wanted him to fail so that they could get on with it. It just took him another, 4 to 6 weeks, 4 weeks, whatever it was, to finally make it happen. Yeah, once the donors saw it, it was all over, and that started happening immediately. Maybe not. Maybe it was just his own ego. Maybe he's the one, because he's out there, on the recorded challenge about the whole thing. But if you wanted him out, the easiest way to do it was to get him into that debate situation. And if he does well, good. We can keep this charade going forever. But if he doesn't do well, we can get on with it.
With their person of choice.
I don't know who the person of choice is, because Schumer's the only leadership person who's endorsed Harris. Obama hasn't. The Clintons haven't. Pelosi hasn't.
I think Hillary did.
You're right. I think you're right.
They've got more than $100 million in campaign funds that they needed to pass on to somebody.
Now he's got a text. People in White House been lying to Americans for 2 years. Protecting somebody? Are people lying about Trump? I don't know. What does lying even mean?
I'm talking about Trump.
Okay.
About what's going on.
Whenever I talk about Trump, everybody, the next question is, what about Biden? From every one of you guys.
Right, so I do that?
Yes.
No, I do not.
Yes, you do.
So what about Trump? I think it makes it easier for him to win.
Oh, maybe not. I don't know. We'll see.
So what's
Harris polls lower than...
What's your what about Trump?
Nothing. What I'm saying is, this happened. It was a sad-looking thing. The guy went downhill pretty fast, and now he's out. So let's just let it go. He's out. Now, the question is, he should have been out. I think Mike Quigley was the smartest one that said, hey, why don't he do this a month ago? We could have some kind of a nationwide primary and act legitimately as we can, and let's get other people in the flow. So if she wins, she wins. I think Mike was absolutely right.
The debate fiasco happened. That changed. That no, showed he, everybody he, who was giving he, money to
Mike
the,
Quigley was after the debate.
So why didn't they do it a month ago? Why didn't they do it 8 months ago?
Because they had already raised
$150 million. Well, why didn't they kick Reagan out 2 years in his to go? Why didn't they kick Woodrow Wilson out? I don't know. They don't do it, Kevin. I don't know why they don't. Nobody wants to be the bad guy or something. I don't know why. Roosevelt ran a fourth term, for God's sake, and Truman had his interview and he knew the guy'd be dead in 6 months. I mean, Truman wasn't the only guy who saw that. It's happened four times that I can think of.
So that makes it okay?
I didn't say it makes it okay.
Then why are you bringing it up?
A lot of things aren't okay but seem to happen. Nobody wants to walk in and tell the president, hey, you should be out of here. It appears. And it's happened on both sides of the aisle. Nobody wants to tell somebody they're incompetent. How many people are running? I know a family member works for Place and the guy has brain cancer and he might be going to get better. Nobody walks in and says you shouldn't be here anymore. It's just people don't do that, Kevin. I don't know why they don't, but nobody wants to be the person. You know that.
Well, the I would think the people who care for him would not want to make him look like a fool.
I don't think there was going to be a second debate. I think the debate made it all that clear that he was not able to handle himself standing up length of time. Maybe, I don't know, is he blithering it behind the Oval Office? I don't know. Neither one of us were there. You know, when he was sitting down and comfortable, could he still make a decent decision? I don't know. I mean, when they brought, what did Wayne say? Who's the guy they brought back in Europe when they had a huge, was it Konrad Adenauer? He was in his mid-80s, wasn't he? And they brought him back, and he just was a stabilizing force for a few years, and then he left. I mean, was he the same as he was when he was 55? I doubt it. I don't understand why the guy, I mean, I don't understand why the guy wanted to run again. When he came in, he was, you know, he was the stabilizing force, and that's why people voted for him, I think.
Well, yeah, he was supposed to be the stabilizing force.
All right. Well, so I don't know, for whatever reason, neither party seems to want to. The Republicans seem to be a little bit better at bringing people along, at least now. I mean, I don't know what, you know. I mean, but now they're not so bright either. They want the guy to resign. They're out of their minds. This is gonna be the most screwed up, lame duck session ever. Let the guy bumble around in there for 4 months.
Unfortunately, we have. I'm not calling for his resignation, although I do have to ask the question that if he's not competent to run for re-election, is he competent for the office now? I think that's a legit.
No, you didn't have to ask the question. Trump said it, so everybody's got to say it.
Because nobody else would ever think of such a thing.
Okay, so right, so the dude.
Trump said it.
But I mean, if she goes.
So let me finish the thought. So that may be true. But when you say let him bumble around, remember we're bumbling around with this a serious situation in the Middle East, and we are bumbling around with Russia and Ukraine at war, and we're pretty much. We've taken a side in that, and we're sending them all kinds of weapons and money and so on. So you know we've got all of that going on, and I don't know that I am comfortable with the term. Why not let him bumble around for 4 months?
When I meant bumble
around, it's not like he's surrounded with such great people.
When I meant bumble around, a place that Trump and this other buffoon can shoot at for 5 months when the guy's in there. If they get him out and she gets in there, what if she does at least acts like she's doing a really good job? That hurts them.
Yeah,
doesn't help
I agree with you that tactically it's not a good idea to have him resign.
Well, that's all I'm saying. I mean, and you know, as to who he's got around him, who the people are in the Joint Chiefs, I would really hope that if he feels, and he did it, that he's not capable of running for office again, that he really better listen to his Joint Chiefs, don't you think? I would hope. Please, I hope so.
You would hope so. I suppose if I want to play devil's advocate on it, that Harris, as president, if she's anything as a president like she was as vice president, she might prove to be appalling for the electorate because she's almost as inarticulate as Biden, and on top of that, she just never prepared
and she doesn't
well
have
on any issues.
Brain cognitive issues.
Well, I listened to, unfortunately.
Oh, I just don't think she's that smart.
I listened, unfortunately, because it seems like I have to. I think I have somebody who actually tapes the Trump rallies. I had to listen to that guy for an hour the other night, and I'm so appalled. I am so appalled, and yet people eat the stuff up. I don't. These guys coming across the border. Did you hear last week there was like a rape? One of these guys raped somebody in Tennessee? Come on, Donald, knock it off, will you? There's rapes all over this country by everybody. I mean, you don't have to go out of Chicago to find a murder in Tennessee.
That's the same defense Biden used when he was talking about it.
We don't even know if the guy...
There's other rapes, so it's not a big deal. Come on, Tom. Do better than that.
No, the man just continues to go on. He cannot specify whether the person was guilty, not guilty. He doesn't know whether the guy was legitimate immigrant or not. He just wanders across with all these rumors and innuendo because his people lap it up. It's disgusting.
You don't need rumors and innuendo when it comes to people who are in the country illegally committing crimes.
I heard
it's like there's a heinous one every week.
I heard this guy last week. He's from Ireland. He raped this girl. Okay, fine. I don't think people from Ireland, I don't think anybody should ever rape anybody. You know that. But when you start doing stuff like that, you're playing to something. And I don't know what the something is, but it disgusts me. You're playing to something. We all know we got a crime problem in this country. We absolutely know it. We know some people, for whatever reason, are in office, seem to be wanting to ignore it. I don't know why. But clearly in Chicago we are. I mean, you know, I'm the staunchest ally you have on this, Kevin, but this constant, you know, going to get this person was there and that person did that. We don't even know if he's right or not, and neither does he. But you don't have to say that. The idea is to turn his bus around, crime and punishment, we all know it. I don't. But this constant pointing at people, I just don't like it. I never have. I don't do it. It seems to be a New York sort of thing for some people, or an East Coast thing where you constantly blame other people for stuff, whether you're right or wrong. I don't know. Part of it's just the way the guy grew up. I get it. But the way that people sit there and lap it up, and they don't check any facts whatsoever. I'm happy Biden is out. I'm very happy. I don't know if what's her name, Kamala Harris, whether she's good. If she's in, is she going to do a good job? She reminds me a lot of Obama, that even if she is legit and gets there, she got there seemingly kind of quick. Like, how the hell did she get there that quick? I mean, I have the same reservations about the lady you do. But I have the reservations for all these people. I don't see anywhere on the horizon, you know, some war vet, you know, some this, some that, just like the lady at the, what's her name, Secret Service. She could be Harry Houdini. I don't know, but how the person in that job does not have, you know, head of military police in Germany, you know, like where Mike was, comes here, has a great job as a city police person, then went on to the FBI. There's got to be somebody with that sort of resume that should be in that spot, not the head of security for Pepsi. I mean, I'm with you on all this stuff.
Well, what was the criteria for the job?
Female would be my guess.
What was the criteria for vice president?
Female.
And?
Well, McCain did the same thing, didn't he?
Not exactly. McCain did not say, before he even considered candidates, that we're going to hire, that we're going to pick a woman of color. So he kind of narrowed the field, which is always stupid.
Yeah.
But in addition to that, yeah, McCain did the same thing. Worked out pretty well for him, didn't it?
No, it didn't. I always kind of liked her. I think she had some...
Well, I think within her narrow band, she was fine. She did not have the chops to sit in the vice president's role, nor to assume the president's role if it came to that.
Well,
so that should be part of it, is that, and I think, you know, whether Biden intentionally said, well, she's not going to be threatening to me, or if
that's part of the vice presidential strategy. I mean, you can't have somebody who outshines you.
Well,
Dan Quayle comes to mind.
But in Trump's case, you can, because he's not going to, you know, he can't be reelected. So if...
I know,
if,
but in general, really, you don't
if
want
you
somebody
really,
who's going to get the
if
news.
If you really get into legacy building, you want someone who's vice president who would be considered next in line, or would certainly be the front runner to be next in line, you want somebody who is going to carry on with what you're doing.
It is strange, though, Kevin, how few times that has happened.
I don't think that goes into the you can't have somebody who's going to be better than you. I mean, at least people in the past have not really gone that way.
Well, real leaders don't mind that. But some,
well, I'm,
yeah,
I'm
A's what? Hire A's and B's hire C's.
Yeah, it's a what's the God? When Kevin, you know this. When's the last time we did have a VP pop in?
The elder George Bush.
That's right.
You know, Biden in a way, because Biden never would have been, you know, so he never got more than 1% in the primary until after he became the VP.
So who's Harris going to pick?
You know, that'll be interesting.
I was just thinking that on the way in. I was going to say, I wonder if Kevin or John have a clue where she's gonna, who she's going to
pick.
Well,
I've seen stuff. I think a lot of people think that the Pennsylvania governor, Shapiro, would be a strong pick, and it's an important state in the election. In fact, I would say it's important enough to say if Trump wins Pennsylvania, it's over. There's not, you know, it's...
That's kind of why he picked Vance, right?
I think it's kind of probably from... in the calculus, because Vance is popular in that area.
And,
in that
yeah, that whole area. Right now, Shapiro and Cooper are, I think, top on Predict It for a Democrat VP nominee. They're both like 25% or so. But yeah. Harris has got, if you look at the betting, Harris is way up there, because if they don't have Harris as the nominee, they have to give back all that campaign cash to the party, and the party can only pass out something like 30 mil of it. So unless they essentially want to...
Well, the Democratic Party, for a real long time, the people that run have been raising their own cash. It's for some reason, it's dropped totally different than the Republican Party. More people send money to the Republican National Committee than do the Democratic National Committee. Democrats, they send it to the person.
Yeah, they send it to the person, which means it would that's worse for them, because...
Well, it's worse if depending if you're the person or not. If you're the person, it's better for you. Right.
Well, right.
Consider those who are managing a career. That if you know, what do you want your association with this election to be? If you think that they can pull it out of the fire, and you you're running for VP, that's probably a big feather for your cap. On the other hand, if this is a campaign that crashes and burns too, just like Biden's was. Then do you really want to be associated with it?
Well, I read one article that said there is no such thing as a what's the term when you're looking for the last vote, Kevin? There's an actual term that I forgot now. Either there's, you know, the last person who hasn't decided. This guy said there isn't one undecided vote left. I don't know if he's right about that.
No, in fact, there was an interview with Frank Luntz, the pollster.
Yeah, but that might have been the guy.
Yeah, and he said, yeah, it's down to like 4%. Undecided, and he doesn't believe any of them are undecided.
Yeah, I don't either. I'm not undecided. I can't. I don't know if I'm going to vote for either one. So, or where that puts me squarely in the middle.
And in many ways, nothing has changed, because I think most people realize that if they were voting for Biden, they were voting for President Harris. There is no way. First of all, it was never going to get better for him. As the campaign wore on, and it sure as hell wasn't going to get any better over the next 4 years.
Kevin, how many people, we weren't here, how many people in 1944 knew they weren't voting for Roosevelt, they were voting for Truman? I bet nobody.
Yeah, I wouldn't know. You know what? I don't know.
I mean, I don't think that was ever let out. I mean, you think of it as, Kevin,
don't judge everybody, expand on that, I'm not sure what you're saying.
I mean, don't judge everybody by you and me that have been around a lot of older people and see this more than most. I mean, I think we're not the only two, obviously, but I think if you and I would have seen Roosevelt in 44, we'd have said, gee, this dude's not going to be here in 48. But what percentage of the population figured that out? I don't have a guess.
It's not as transparent as it is now. I mean, now you get live video. You can see everything zoomed in. You've got HD and audio and everything. Back then, it was more curated.
You could have pulled the thing. We got to dash the break here. But you know what's weird, Kevin? I agree with you and Mike and way more of this, by the way, than I'm letting on, because I want to make it, you know, I want to pull thoughts out of you guys. So it's not just me disagreeing. I'm really wondering why he was, handle such a bad term, why his people around him in the last 6 months didn't act differently. I mean, George Bush went months and months, Bush too, without meeting the press, without having a press conference, and he wasn't even in bad shape. He just didn't want to do it.
Yeah, well, and that, you know, that, I mean, you know, something I just thought of too that goes back a couple of years. Remember how long has he been, you know, reading from notes at, when he was doing press conferences? He had to have the notes. He had to call on. He had a list of people to call on, and he knew what they were going to ask, and he had to respond using. Notes.
Sounds like the Federal Reserve guy, and sounds like one of the CEOs on CNBC, doesn't it?
Yeah, but it, you know, I mean, that sort of tells you where he was. And so I, as far as I'm concerned, it's always case by case in terms of, because some people at 85 are great. You know, I mean, how old's Warren Buffett?
Yeah, he's like in his 90s. And I wouldn't want to debate that guy.
I wouldn't either. And yet, you know, there are also people that get in, you know, into their mid and late 70s that are just not all that sharp. So, you know, I think it's a case by case. It's, you know, there's a lot of genetics involved, a lot of things that go into it. So, you know, the people always kept saying, is he too old to run? Well, no, age is just a number. Well, that was never the issue. Is he had a cognitive decline, and that's
all right. So my
issue.
My question before we go to break, and I know you don't know the answer, but why, if you and I see this, and we're just, I won't say we're stumble bums, because, I mean, I'm more observant than most because that's what I do for people. I'm supposed to look at the stuff, well, because they're not. They're, like, operating on people and things, which I don't want to do. And you're very observant, and so is Greg, but and the people on the show. But we're also not kids anymore. We notice when somebody, we don't notice one of our friends, if all of a sudden he has to use the table to get up or something. They'll ask me, hey, is something wrong with your leg? I mean, we're just observant people, maybe just because. But I don't see why. There's no way in hell that I would possibly let that guy try and do a debate standing up an hour and a half past his bedtime. And whether I should be protecting him or not is another issue, but who did that? He didn't have to debate him then.
Well, he got they it was their rules.
I think they got cornered.
Well, they did. I mean, I'm saying you just say no.
No, they wanted to do, in my opinion, I don't know. They didn't want to do the debate, so they started naming ridiculous conditions that they thought Trump would say no to, like being on CNN, no crowd, they would be able to mute the mics, stuff like that. And then when Trump said yes, they were backed into a corner.
Well, I'm saying they didn't have to do anything. There was a guy who came on the Christmas. You remember the show, Kevin? It was Christmas Eve. When was the Federal Reserve started? It was 100 years to the day that the Federal Reserve started. And the guy who was the head of whatever he was, press or whatever for the Federal Reserve here in Chicago, came over. Kevin, you know what's freaky about it? You know our buddy Frank Peretta? This guy, I'm not kidding you, was Frank's twin that somebody stole at work, at birth. He looked just like him, acted just like him. I mean, I'm sitting there going, I almost said, hey, Frank, when he walked in. I mean, I never saw anybody look as... And our buddy Frank is a real good guy, good-looking guy. Anyway, the guy comes in, and he's sitting down, and he sees somebody from the New York Fed who's on TV, on CNBC, and he goes, look at that guy. What a disgrace. And I go, what are you talking about? This is after the show. And he goes, you see where he's sitting? And I go, yeah. He says, look at, the part of his hair is into the camera. I said, okay. Me with the face for radio, I don't know what the hell he's talking about. He goes, he would never be, if I was his guy and I was helping him get on the air, which maybe I should be because the guy who's handling him doesn't know what he's doing, you never have the part of your head to the camera at your bad side. And I said, what if that's the only seat they had? Then he's not going on. I mean, when I hear stuff like that from people, and I see people do like an obvious screw-up, this guy's standing up that time of night trying to do this, I sit there and go, who's the moron who did it?
Well, it's the moron is the guy who recorded a video that said, Donald Trump lost two debates to me in 2020, and since then he hasn't shown up for a debate. Now he's acting like he wants to debate me again. Well, make my day, pal. I'll even do it twice, so let's pick the dates.
Well, times change.
I hear you're free on Wednesdays, which was his day off of court. That's Biden himself, because as a self-important blowhard, he is really good at that kind of stuff.
God, Kevin, I mean, there's guys that I'd have played softball with that I wouldn't hesitate to play 4 years later. I'm not so sure I would make that same call. At least I would recognize. I'm not looking in the mirror. Hey, it's not the same, buddy.
Well, that was the day his campaign went off the rails. That was the day. It's the end. That was the beginning of the end, right there.
Well, maybe it was already happening, and the people put him out there just to make sure to everybody and to him as well. You don't know what the motivation of these people are. We don't know. I can't even imagine what their motivation might have been. They know him better than we do. How could we predict he was going to blow up and not them?
Who knows? Anyway, you got to go.
Because we have eyes.
John's online already, so get dressed.
So we can't even talk about it.
You see
the
guys on Wednesday.
So did you see the Cubs actually had a walk-off yesterday?
Oh, yeah, a walk-off walk.
Yeah, well, that's a walk-off, right?
You know, a win's a win, but, I, for Wednesday, remind me, I have a whole bunch of baseball complaints, or a handful of baseball complaints.
Hey, if you wouldn't mind, give me a research assignment on here. The Cubs or somebody, I think it was the Cubs, drafted out of their 20 people, 17 are from college. Only I think only 3 are from high school. How about we, assuming there's no other crazy stuff happening between now and then, why don't we take that apart a little bit and what you get and how long they're maybe in the minor leagues, what the development is, what the costs are. And if all of a sudden people start paying people to be in college and we extend this out, are major leagues going to have to start buying college contracts? Or I can't imagine. This is fascinating to me, Kevin, where this all might go. And why would you get a kid out of high school unless he's a phenom? It's going to take you 4 years in your system for the guy to get hurt.
You might as well get his Tommy John surgery out of the way during college rather than while you're paying him.
Is it? Last question before we get to John. Is it just me, or all these young pitchers that are going down? If you tell the guy you got to throw the ball 100 miles an hour to get me or you out, why are these people doing that? Why is every pitch a max effort pitch, and then they stun or hurt?
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? Plus, you know, at very young ages, they're throwing a lot of breaking balls, a lot of things that stress out their elbows. There's a really good book out called The Arm, and it's all about this. So
my cousin who played a halfback, you know, in those days you carried the ball 35, 40 times a game, even in high school and college. He said, you know, you go around then and you see 4 guys there. He goes, you go down. He said, because you got 5 or 6 times a game where you can blast into some guy and try and get by him, you don't waste that energy when there's 4 people there. He goes, they need you in the fourth quarter. He says to me, now maybe now it's different. They don't think they do. Or so you believe that guy Little is out for the year now, the big lefty. He was just starting to be really good.
Yep.
Anyway, SP Futures up 29, NASDAQ Futures up 170. We're going to do traffic, weather, sports, and then we'll be back, Mr. John Flanagan.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here.
Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Allen, Greg Pappas on the board. SP Futures up 30. NASDAQ futures up 174. We were up some last night, then we were up just a little, and now we're up a lot. So we'll see. Last week was a bad week for the market. We'll see. Maybe we come back this week. I don't know right now if what... I think probably the Biden thing was so expected. I don't even know if it's really news now, but I mean, it's obviously news because it happened, but I don't know that it's a market shaker at this point. Over in Asia, the Nikkei down 464, that's 1.2% under 40,000, 39,599. Hang Seng up the other way, up 218. Now, those guys had a horrible week last week. But now they're back up to 17,635, and I think they might have started last week, didn't they, Greg? Over 18,000 or right there, and they went flying down and are coming back up. Shanghai down 18.6%, 29.64. Greg, are you capable of telling me why on most days now the Hang Seng and the Shanghai are going in different directions? I know it's that big of a deal to anybody here, but it just is curious to me. Maybe you can explain that to us after we're done with this.
I'm not racist. Asians are not the same, Chief.
Oh, God. Well, the people in Hong Kong, since China owns the damn place now, just saying. DAX up 226, 1.25%. FTSE up 59.74. CAC around up 92, 1.3. Even though Ryanair is down 14%, airlines did not have a good week. European markets rise as traders assess change U.S. political landscape. I don't want to exactly call that a reason, assessing. On Friday, Dow was down 377, S&P down 39, NASDAQ down 144. So we're making back more than that in the NASDAQ and about the same in the S&P. Bonds, 10-year down 2 basis points, 4.22. The Bund unchanged, 2.46. Japan up 1 basis point, 1.06. We've got oil down 41 cents, under 80 bucks. So oil got cratered on Friday after the show. 79.82. We're doing the show, it was like 82. So during the day, it was not a good day. Brent down 24 cents, 82.39. Natural gas up 7, 2.19. RBOB unchanged, 2.44. We've got gold up 6.70, 24.05. Oil got clobbered last week. Looks like it's come back a little bit today. Silver down 8 cents, 29.21. Copper down 2 cents, 4.20. We've got foreign exchange. The euro's back up to 108.9. So the dollar's actually fallen some this morning. The pound is up just a little bit. 129.3. And we have Bitcoin up 138, 67,456. They were a big winner last week. Greg, what do you have for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
Good morning, everyone. Oh, can you hear me?
Yep.
Oh, nice. 6:43 a.m. here in Chicago. 68 degrees, partly sunny with possible showers later. High of 78 today. Phoenix, 86 now, mostly cloudy, very warm. Thunderstorms late afternoon, high of 110 there. Traffic, inbound Kennedy from Montrose, 15 minutes. Edens from Lake Cook, 33 minutes. Eisenhower from Wolf, 22 minutes. Inbound Ryan from 95th is 15 minutes, and the Stevenson from 294 of the Ryan is 20 minutes. Sports, Sox lose at Royals, that was 1-4. Diamondbacks lose at Wrigley, the walk-off walk, that was 1-2. WNBA All-Stars beat the U.S. Olympic team, that was interesting, 117-109. And finally, in Troon, Scotland, Xander Schauffele wins, and that was his... What?
Second major this year, right?
Second major this year, and his...
He's been right there for like 2-3 years.
Clinched an American sweep of all four majors for the first time since 1982.
Wow.
Yeah. That's all I got, Chief.
I love those...
Back to you.
Jan, how are you with us, bud?
I'm here.
I love those POC bunkers. You know, they're like... It looks like a battleship shell landed there, and then they put sand in the bottom of it. You know, Greg, I don't know if you're a golfer, but I actually read, I was curious, if you have an unplayable lie in a trap, you actually have four options according to the rules. Can you name them?
Take a club length?
Actually, one of them is two club lengths.
Oh, two. Wow.
In any direction. One is back as far as you can in the trap on the same line of sight as the same direction. That's one shot. If you want to pull it out of the trap, that's two shots. Or you can go back and hit it from where you hit the ball into the trap from. That's another shot. That's a shot. It's actually a four. That's weird. I don't know if you're not that big on rules of golf. Hey, John, before we get started, Greg, if you wouldn't mind, I don't know if he's going to do it again. And actually, I don't think the Chinese tariffs have really dropped much. The ones that... ones that Trump put on, I don't think Biden really got rid of them that much, did he, Jen? As a matter of fact, he increased a couple of them, didn't he?
Some, I think,
reduced or, you know, moved around, I think. But, it, you know, the I think it's, the policy is still there, which, I, you know, I would we be waiting a long time for the Democrats to have initiated something like that, but I'm glad Trump did.
Well, I'm saying the, you know, the vitriol, you know, and it, this is just politics. Maybe because I didn't like the man long before he was a corrupt president, I'd pay more attention. But, you know, the idea is he's going to be hard on China. I'm going to say that Biden was at least as hard on China. But I want Greg to fill us in. I think that the tariffs on the agricultural stuff were loosened, I think, weren't they? Because I think what happened was, I don't want to go into this too deeply, but when we had the tariffs, when the Chinese weren't buying the soybeans and stuff, Greg, wasn't there's different bases on soybeans. In other words, if you're growing soybeans in Illinois, it's probably going to be crushed here in this country, right, Greg? You're the crush guy, or it's going to be on a barge down to New Orleans and it's going to leave by there. If you grow soybeans or even some corn, because it'd be up north now, more so, it's probably going to, if you're in Minnesota, it's probably going to be on a train to Seattle and it's going to be exported, correct? So when the soybean trade with China went downhill, the farmers in the northern part of the region were impacted dramatically more than the people in Illinois, Iowa, and Indiana, and Ohio. I mean, that wasn't even close, right, Greg? Those guys were essentially put out of business.
I'd say in 2018 or so, when China put their retaliatory tariffs in, the price of beans went down. The farmers were actually a little pissed. But it seems like he gave some other guarantees to farmers in the form of, call it, insurance / price floors. That really was, I guess, kept them voting for him.
Well, somebody,
Biden
I
did
recall.
Leave the tariffs in place, and then I'm not sure. There was a 2020 truce, and that was when they came like halfway there, I think, and the U.S. exports, they made some deal, and they wanted to have exports be similar to what they were in 2017, or at least that's the goal, but then China didn't fulfill their commitment, and then, you know, it was...
Yeah, it became a great, big gold bleep,
and basically. Biden was angry because they didn't fulfill their commitment, so then, you know, then he was he had a reason to be angry at them and keep the tariffs, and that's just ag, I mean... I don't know about the other stuff.
It's probably one. Just, but I mean, John, you and I have talked, you know, privately. But this stuff it never gets even, because I think some bigger people, which always seems to happen, were scooping up a lot of these farms up north, right, Greg? And now, even if all of a sudden something is now even, those guys didn't get their farms back, did they? I don't think.
No.
That's... But I mean, I'm saying it was a. I mean, one of the kind of the themes of the show, I mean, and Jen and I talk about it privately a lot, is a lot of these things that happen, it's never even, and that's the problem. And doesn't it seem, Jen, that the people we care about are always the ones getting hurt?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're a soybean guy in Illinois, the price was down a little bit, like Greg said, but it wasn't the same. There's no way the guy up there who could not ship it to Seattle because they didn't want it in Seattle. What's that? What does that guy have to pay to truck the crap down to the Illinois River? It probably wouldn't be that bad, but he's got to truck it somewhere, right, Greg?
I think what was happening was, call it South America, was buying from here, marking it up, and then selling to China, or the, you know, some scheme just to say that it wasn't from us, it was from them, but you know, China wasn't doing the buying, and that kind of stuff was happening. It's not like trade stopped. It was just, it had something in between, a middleman.
Yeah, well, I mean, I took a, Chris was still helping us do the show a long time ago, long before COVID, I actually took a barge tour on the Illinois River, which is really neat, by the way. John, have you ever been through like a real lock other than the one? I won't say the ones like Michigan are real locks. They are, but What's your difference in water? It's like 2 feet or something. Well, the ones that
it's not great, but you go to the Illinois River.
They're like 100 feet.
Yeah.
You're sitting at the bottom of this thing, and you go, wait a minute. The top of this is like way the hell up there, and all of a sudden they start pumping water in the damn thing, and up you go. And you're like, well, this thing better work. Anyway, but even from time to time, we get into this basis thing. When you talk about commodities, it's not like stock. It's not where, I mean, IBM, it really doesn't matter where in the country you are. I mean, let's put it this way. You can account with PTI. It doesn't make any difference to me. If you want to sell 100 shares of IBM through us, we don't care if you're in Florida or if you're in Oregon. But now, if you are doing oil or corn or soybeans, it makes a huge difference where you are. And what this guy said, there's like, wasn't there, one of you guys should know this, there's 7 locks from Chicago to the St. Louis. Is it 7 or 8? But every lock you go through is another dime a bushel for your transit, right, Greg? Something like that, a nickel or a dime? So if you actually want to truck it down to the last lock, which is, I guess, Alton, and give it to a grain guy there, now you got to truck it down there, I think it's 80 cents a bushel or 75 cents a bushel difference. Because that's how long it takes the barges and how much effort to get through these. Barges are what? A 9-barge thing, right?
And they go through fees for them too, right?
Well, you got to break the barges apart. They go through every one of these older locks. The biggest setup for barges, I think, is 9 and 1. They call it a tugboat, but it's really a pushboat. I think you can put 9 on them, right, Greg?
It's the port of Cincinnati /
Yeah, but there's Kentucky. The only locks that are like that are, there's a couple of them. The rest of them, you got to break it apart. They can only send 3 or 4 through at a time, which is manual, really. Talk about manual labor. We're talking people who got winches and they're pulling these things by hand. Well, every lock you go through costs more to transport it. So it ends up being something like a dime a bushel per lock. So you can imagine some guy's got the soybeans in the middle of Minnesota and he can't go west, what kind of a problem he's got. I mean, it's not something that everybody really has to think about every day because we're not soybean farmers, but when you look at these prices, it's kind of not the same. We could have a huge gusher of oil, and if we're 100 miles from a road or a pipeline, guess what? We better just use oil in our truck, right? I mean, what else we can do with it? Doesn't do anybody any good. I mean, it's just different. It's just something everybody, I think, should keep an eye on when you talk about agricultural products. Well, John, you had to watch the news all weekend. Expected. The market didn't seem to care. Market's up.
Same old.
Yeah, it was down last week. I think it was building momentum to happen. I don't know what the timing. I mean, Mike Quigley obviously was out early talking about, when I say that, he was the earliest I heard, or maybe somebody was earlier than him, talking about they need some kind of a national primary, they needed to, get everybody involved, and he seems to think that there are players behind the scenes that Schumer and Pelosi maybe never let say a word. They're actually very talented. Maybe they're governors, maybe they're not. There is some kind of a bench that if people got a chance to see him, they might actually like him. I don't know. I don't know who these people are. I didn't know who this guy was that Trump picked as a VP, but now I've read up on him somewhat. I don't know that, how horrible candidate Kamala Harris would be or not be. There's a lot of things up in the air. And plus, I don't know how many voters are still around that you can actually swing one side to the other. Maybe people just won't vote or something. I mean, what do you think about that, Jen? The article about uncommitted voters.
Well, there's a lot of confused voters. They're committed is not the word I would use for them in this kind of climate. But I think they've been betrayed, especially by the Democrats, with the way this has all played out. And, to me, there's no mystification here whatsoever on how this debate happened or what the result would be or that somebody must have screwed up for this to happen. And no. It was exactly designed to accomplish this. And I knew that as soon as they set the date for it. No reason for the Democrats to ask for a debate before either party has had its convention. And there's technically no candidates to be debated. This is like when Gavin Newsom was debating. What's he got to debate about? He doesn't have skin in this game yet. He doesn't have any support. He doesn't have an organization or anything else that I know of. So as soon as they said it was going to be when it was, I thought this will give them enough time to humiliate Biden on national TV with big viewership, and then figure out what they're going to do. They figured Trump would coast the nomination. That was never really in doubt. But it was to give them wiggle room to figure out what kind of chicanery they could get away with to manipulate the ticket. So, I mean, none of this surprised me at all. The only thing that you know, was clear that night was immediately the media that had, you know, circled their wagons around Biden for years exploded. And, oh, my God, how could this happen? What a disaster. Oh, unbelievable. I'm like, come on. Where have you been for the last 5 years with this guy? The whole thing was so staged, Tom. And then you add to this the assassination attempt on Trump. I'm sorry, I mean,
to be a conspiracy, but it's not this. Someone is Jan. I mean, I can't disagree more with you and Kevin in terms of. I mean, I go back to even a sports story. Everybody knew Lou Gehrig was slowing down at an early age. Nobody knew why, and nobody wanted to say anything until one day he said, "You know what? I can't play anymore. I'm out." They didn't. The manager didn't pull him. Teammates didn't pull him. Nobody said a word. Yet it was obvious to everybody. And he finally said, "I what am I doing out here?" I mean, Lou Gehrig was a great man. I mean, in virtually every respect. But the manager was crying when Gehrig pulled himself out. He didn't pull him. I mean, this is somewhat human nature. I mean, I don't know if it's a good part of it or a bad part of it.
You know, Gehrig, how many fans have Gehrig played before in his career and had never, you know, did he miss games? Never. You know, this guy was unusual even by baseball standards. When was the last time Biden exposed himself to real scrutiny? I would say, you know, maybe in the 70s or 80s. But he hasn't done much of anything to warrant much press coverage, especially since he got into the White House. And the White House press corps, everything, they treated him like he was a non-entity. They lied or masked any of his embarrassing moments, and there were thousands of them.
Well, okay,
you
John.
Never
so
talked about in the papers.
Let's say
saw them highlighted on the evening news.
Gehrig
was not that kind of a guy at all.
If can you imagine if 2 years of Trump is in there? Now he's older than Biden when Biden won last time, correct?
Yeah. Well,
and his father died at roughly this age of dementia problems. You imagine I hope he gets in. If he gets in, I sure as hell hope he never has any issues like that. I hope the guy lives to be 100. I mean, I don't like the guy. I don't want him getting shot. I don't want him dying young. I don't wish that on anybody. Can you imagine what it would be like trying to talk this guy out of the place 2 years from now? Talk about egos.
You think it would be any different? You think it would be worse? I think it would be better.
I don't know if anybody I've ever seen in life that had an ego bigger than him.
This is the Democrats, you know, playbook. Oh, my, you know,
I'm not a Democrat. I'm in the middle. I'm saying these people are men.
He got out of there on schedule 2017, Tom, just as planned, just as he said he would. I mean, we've been around the turnpike with this guy before. If this were a new phenomenon, we hadn't had a chance to evaluate
it's
yet.
Not a
maybe I, you know,
why do you and Kevin
we
always talk about this
we
I'm
know
saying
as
is
we can know about anybody.
I'm saying why are you and Kevin always gonna make this a Democrat Republican? I'm saying I don't know of any person I've ever seen on earth that has a bigger ego about he can do anything than Donald Trump. Now I hope he can. Well, you know, but I'm saying can you imagine walking in to tell him that you're not capable for the job 2 years from now?
There are people behind Biden, Tom, with bigger egos than either one of them.
What I'm saying is the debate on any of these people is very difficult, and Trump would not you'd want to be the guy that walks in there and tell him 2 years from now, Donald, you're losing it, get the hell out. I wouldn't.
I'm willing to cross that bridge when we come.
Okay,
I know how what a shambles the Democrats have made.
You guys
I don't think it will be any worse, Tom.
You guys are so overwhelmed by this hatred of the Democrats that you can't think straight. To be honest with you,
hatred them. I don't trust them. Blankety blank.
I don't trust any of them. I don't trust any of them. Do you trust Bush? Do you trust Trump? Do you trust any of these people? I don't. I don't trust Pelosi. I don't trust Phil Graham. I don't trust any of these guys that had their wives working at these places. To me, it's an absolute cesspool. But I'm in the middle, and I can look at both sides. I don't. I don't I mean, both sides have problems. And the world is getting worse.
Let me just speak quick time. If it is, you know, a race between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump, I mean, I will have to stifle my laughter, but I'm going to vote for Trump. I'm sorry.
No kidding.
And I think a lot of people.
Gee, you're shocking everybody.
Way. Kamala Harris has done nothing to prove herself on the national stage all her life. Even weaker than Biden.
What did Trump do his first time through? Except
the praises of today. I mean, come on.
What did Trump do? Look at the two of their records in government. There's no comparison. I'm not going to vote for either one of them. I just went through her stuff last night.
A former president running against a new company. So
when the man became president, what did he do other than be on "You're fired"? What was
he
his
build a real estate empire?
And how did that work out? How many bankruptcies? How many people lost money on his stuff?
Still on a bunch of stuff, Tom. He did something right. I'm not saying he did everything right.
You compare the two records. I am no fan of Kamala Harris. You compare the two records in government, there's no comparison than his first term. Yes, you can say he was president. Well, right now he was. It's okay, so I get that part. So I'm gonna try and forget, but let's not say he's way more qualified than she was on his first term. He didn't do anything.
Come on, son.
Was he a senator? Was he a district attorney? Did he prosecute cases? He didn't know any of that stuff.
You don't have to be smart to be those things today, I'm telling you.
I'm not.
I can show you a whole.
I'm being very careful here, not to pick one to the other, but let's not say the man had in his first term had any sort of experience in this everywhere. If he wasn't on TV,
he had more push and drive than Ronald Reagan, who had what, two terms as governor of California, and
which is a serious deal, winning a governorship of California, and doing a nice job, by the way.
Reagan could never have been elected in any other state than that because he knew Hollywood backwards and forwards. He had a charmed life until then. He switched parties. The guy couldn't do any wrong.
I'm not saying he'd
never made, you know, anything out of it. He was a shoo-in for governor.
He was a great speaker. He was ahead of the screen.
He was a great reader, Tom. He was a great reader.
He was ahead of the Screen Actors Guild. People in his industry thought he was not just some schlump on the stage. My point is, I mean,
and Tom, I would add, a lousy actor. Never won an Oscar. Never made
a lot of great actors have never won an Oscar.
But at least they made great movies.
And you know, they couldn't play the whole time he was in presidency. They couldn't play Bedtime for Bonzo.
Yeah, I wonder whose decision that was.
I don't know if you knew that or not, Greg. You can't give anybody time on the air if you don't give the other guy time.
Here's my point, Tom. We survived Reagan. We survived the first Trump administration. I don't know if we would survive the kind of bilge that the Democrats are pushing out these days the next time around, because I don't know who's running the show. I really don't. I don't have a clue. With the Obama statement yesterday, it was mostly about Obama at the beginning. It makes me think, well, is Obama running the show?
They're trying to push. I wouldn't be a bit surprised they're trying to push Michelle.
Well, that's been talked about too. In any event, Tom, the fact that Biden was, you know, kicked out pretty much, starting with the debate fiasco, got, you know, this assassination attempt on the president. Biden gets COVID, you know, out of commission a week before the debate, preparing for that mess that participated in. All of this is so ridiculously staged, managed to make his removal inevitable, that I wouldn't trust anybody who'd be waiting in the wings to get the support.
When's the last time you trusted anybody out there? Anybody? I'm talking about. Ever since,
first of all, it will not be a free and open convention. It will be the worst. It will be worse than the 1920 smoke-filled room at the Blackstone Hotel with Warren Harding. They'll be, God knows what they paid Biden, promised him to get him out of there too. We'll never hear that.
Well, you're listening to the same stations.
Probably taxpayer money.
You listen to the same stations that Audrey's listening to.
I don't listen to any of those. I just think about this stuff, Tom. You'd have to think. The way the press turned.
John, even though we are disagreeing on everything, we both agree that
this was all planned ahead of time. They didn't just suddenly open their eyes and see what this idiot was capable of doing. They knew all along. They just didn't talk about it. They kept everybody in the dark as long as they possibly could.
John, I'm getting my air sickness bags lined up because I'm going to listen to Trump now for 6 months tell me about how Biden created the inflation. Come on. I mean, the money supply went up 40% in 1 year when Trump was in office. Now, my question that I keep asking, and I'm never going to get an answer to it, my question is, does Trump not know where the inflation came from, or is he just a blatant liar? And now my question is, which is worse?
To a large extent, Trump's hands were tied, as any president's hands are tied, by the Fed, by stuff beyond their control, by who knows what the puppet master's next plan is. And this extended even to the choice of people for Biden,
Trump's
cabinet. I think he was given a short list of people to pick from, and he couldn't go off that reservation. It's pretty clear to me, you know, there were stumbles, and there were intentional stumbles with some of the people at the beginning. But I don't think Trump had a free hand. Maybe no president has a free hand in who they can pick.
Now, COVID was an issue, okay, but I'm saying, without a doubt, I mean, people are dying. I mean, I'm not going to minimize that, but I'm saying this happened under his watch. Now, and it would have been a lot worse if the Republican Congress didn't say no to the last check he wanted to send out to people, which, by the way, Biden went ahead and sent out. So I'm not saying Biden was any better, but the point is, on a timing issue, the damage was done during Trump's campaign, which I understand why it happened. I understand why they did it. I'm trying to understand.
COVID was to a great extent, Tom, part of this setup. And it wasn't just in this country that it played out. It was, you know, all over.
Okay.
When Trump, you know, stopped the flights from China in the first weeks, the blowback.
I'm looking at their talking points. Yeah. And
when he said it was a Wuhan virus, the blowback from the Democrats.
Can we possibly stay? The biggest talking point I've heard so far from him and the VP is the incredible inflation that Biden has tortured America with. That's their number one talking point. And what I'm saying is, he's the one who caused it. Not saying him personally, not saying, my question is, does he not know that, or he's willing to perpetuate the big lie? Which is it?
I think he has to toe the line with the Fed. The Fed is running things more
than
any president.
No. Powell was actually pulling back on some of the money supply, and Trump dragged him into the White House. Now, whether he paddled him or waterboarded him, I don't know, but the policy changed the next day, as you recall, that meeting. And I watched this stuff pretty closely. All of a sudden, the Fed poured out as much money as Trump wanted him to for the checks and all the other stuff. Don't forget, the guy had just put through a huge tax cut, and now he's sending people out checks, and they're printing the money. I'm not saying that doing something like COVID, a lot of people wouldn't have done the same thing, whatever. But let's just understand
whoever would have been in it would have done, I think, the same thing.
I don't know about that.
Much differently if it had been somebody else.
I don't know about that.
The powers that be, the CDC, the World Health Organization, the Chinese,
I'm talking about the money. John, we didn't do that in World War II. We didn't do it in World War II. We didn't do it in World War I. We did a little bit of it in World. I mean, we did a little bit.
We
in World
didn't
War.
Have these crooked agencies like the CDC and the World Health Organization.
I'm talking about pouring money into the system. We didn't do it in the Civil War. We didn't do it in World War II. We did it under Trump's administration. I'm just saying. These are facts. But this stuff becomes one of. Again, she's so much writer than you. It's scary. A friend I know from the trading floor says to me, this is just as bad as Jimmy Carter's inflation. I said, whoa, wait a minute. You're old enough to remember Jimmy Carter didn't cause the inflation. What's the matter with you? Don't you remember Nixon's wage and price controls? Two presidents before Carter? Don't you remember Jerry Ford's whip inflation now buttons he wanted everybody in the country to wear? And you're blaming this on Carter? I mean, at least let's figure out where I'm not saying somebody else wouldn't have done the same thing or whatever, but if I caused it, I'd have a problem accusing somebody else of doing it, is my only point, John. Now, did Biden come in and immediately yank back on the money supply? No, he didn't. Did he really push against the issue that he saw was there? But not many people. If you look at just the facts, like Joe Friday and Dragnet, Trump put through a huge tax decrease, And then 2 years later, he got hit with a COVID and printed a bunch of money and sent people a bunch of checks. Nothing could be monetarily more incompetent than that. And yet, you know, I'm just saying. I mean, now, would Biden have done the same thing? Probably. Would you have done the same thing? Me? Probably. But let's not accuse somebody else of causing it. I mean, it's right there.
Well, the lockdowns, Tom, which I blame for the explosion of money after Trump left, were Democrat-driven.
Lockdowns don't cause any explosion in money.
The aftermath.
No, they don't. Explosion of money came. The money supply went up 40% in Trump's last year. That's what had happened.
How much money did the Chicago public schools demand before they would reopen? I mean,
where it all went. I'm not absolving.
The rent abatements, Tom, the moratorium on collecting rents. Do you think people just like tighten their
I'm not absolving Biden at all. I'm just saying this is fact under the 4 years the man was here. Now, my question is he going to continue to blame it on the guy after him? Because that seems to be the talking point. And is everybody going to buy it? Are we going to buy that it was Jimmy Carter's inflation? We have for how many years? It's not like it doesn't work. Right?
To the giveaway on student loan debt. You know, I would point to the infrastructure bill, which was a complete joke. None of this stuff, you know, charging stations for, you know, electric vehicles, three were.
And I don't agree with any of that either. But
billions of dollars.
When you can do three things when you spend money in a government, Jen. You can tax and spend it. You can borrow it and spend it, which Biden has done more of. That's why the deficit keeps running up that big. Or you can print it. Those are your three options. Federal Reserve is supposed to prevent you from doing option number three to excess. Trump managed to beat the hell out of Powell to where he didn't pay any attention. Okay, and Biden certainly didn't withdraw it back in. I think they're equally guilty in terms of what they tried to accomplish. Or what they did. Biden is an absolute. He doesn't know anything about money, but he thinks it doesn't make any difference. He's not my hero in this at all. You think for
just
a second
that, you know, when it's rumored Biden had his last cabinet meeting.
I have no idea.
2023, and that might have been the first one since 2021. For all I know, there was no coordination, no sharing of information, no nothing at this point.
Well, I mean, could any of anybody had less meetings than the second Bush? God, what did he go, like a year without a press conference, or was that his own man? One of them.
No, I'm not the cabinet. I mean, where you actually have your cabinet sitting around.
I have no idea what the normal is. Do you? I mean,
well, I don't think in a time where we're funding wars all over the place that it should be every 8 or 9 months.
All right. So when Trump got in office, well, I'm going back to May of 2019, as far back I'm going on this. Money supply was 14.6. When he left office, January 21, it was 19.3. So in 2 years, it's up, 45%. All right, so 19.3 is when he left office, and now it is 29, so it's up maybe 8 or 9% since he left. So where did the inflation come from? What time period? It's as obvious as the day is long.
I would say 1974.
Well, if you want to go back that.
Have we ever reversed course since that? Since, I don't think so.
But let me throw you a bone. I'm going to say that the sneaky part of it was during the Obama administration, money supply went up 8.5% a year, and growth was maybe 2%. So inflation was already percolating. I think Obama is one of the worst, most egregious presidents in terms of inflation, because there was no reason for it. At least in COVID, there was a reason. I'll give Trump a bone. At least he had a reason. But Obama did it every year, and there was no reason for it other than I think they were just floating all the big people. The biggest push in disparity between rich and poor that I've ever seen happened in the Obama administration and in the Biden administration.
Yeah,
I mean, if you give me a chance,
no coincidence there, Tom.
If you give me a chance, I'll be happy to criticize the Democrats. But, I mean, this has been ongoing for a long time, which makes me believe it almost doesn't matter who's in there, Jen. Somehow or another, the people running the place aren't the two people we're voting for, whoever they happen to be.
I'd say what does matter, Tom, is the amount of energy and time and money that gets wasted on stupid stuff in one candidate's administration versus another's. I mean, that's pretty much
they all waste. They all waste money to the people who put them in there. And it's one side or the other. You and the Republicans think that you waste money that way, it's a better waste than the Democrats are wasting it other way.
By wasting money, I mean, what do you get for this money is my point. Maybe in some cases you get, you know, we put money in, you get an objective that a lot of people would disagree with, but you get the objective. I'm just saying that when you get, you know, a huge, you're throwing money in every direction and you have nothing to show for it, then you got to look at, well, who's going to do a better job of not doing that?
Well, hey,
we've wasted so much time and energy in this with this crowd on pronouns and women's sports and, you know, stuff that maybe it counts to people in the thick of it, but most people see this as a complete waste of time and energy.
For some reason, an awful lot of people like to focus on stuff like that. I have no idea why, Jen. It's a, you know, it seems to happen.
It's a distraction, Tom. I mean, that's the only thing I can explain it as.
Why does it? Why? But Jen, it's
to keep people, you know, fighting tempers up, get the hair on the back of their neck up, and point fingers at people who are a problem here. And these people need to be, you know, reeducated. And these people are deplorables. And you know, blah 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 blah. And it's only to keep people's attention away from how big the screw job is.
Well, we can't focus
both
on...
Both parties have their own dirty laundry here, but I would say it's been raised to unbelievable heights in the last 4 years.
Well, there's an awful lot of things that we can't ever talk about. I mean, on the Republican side, you can't ever talk about any sort of gun issues, even though their own guy missed being killed by about an inch last week.
By whom?
By some kid who had an access to a gun he shouldn't have had.
And at a government protection system that was in total collapse or total compromising.
We don't know that at all.
You know that, Tom.
No, we don't.
Come on.
We have no idea what the protocol is. We have no idea how many people you're supposed to have. We have no idea if...
Or maybe it was the government did do their job or trying to do their job.
Yeah. That's why there isn't more... That's why Cheadle is still in there. She may not...
But we have the,
we can ask RFK about that.
We have an entire party that is absolutely convinced. I mean, there's this whole sham of that there's some sort of background checks, there's some sort of ways that we can deal with this gun problem by just having background checks and stuff, when it's very obvious that any loser wants a gun can get whatever gun they want. That entire mess of background checks and everything is a disgrace. Is a disgrace. Name me one person who ever wanted to kill somebody who couldn't find a gun. No matter if
or
you're
club, IQ. Or a knife.
What was the state? What is the... what's the state now? What was the judge? I was going to ask you about this, Jen. What was it, what do you, the appeals court somewhere said it's unconstitutional to tell a felon they can't own a gun? Was this where does that come from? Not that they can't get one.
Well,
I'm sure
letting,
they can.
Letting vote again in some jurisdictions.
What?
They're letting felons vote in some jurisdictions.
There's a little difference between that and owning a gun. Now I know every felon. I won't say every, but a lot of them probably have five because they're all buddies, all have them. But, I mean, why would we ever even think of that if you actually enforced it, which we don't? I mean, what an embarrassment.
Well, maybe because they made the process of charging somebody with a felony and getting them convicted on it is a sham, too.
Well, okay. Let's have no laws. It's everything a sham.
I'm just saying that I don't think there should be as few researches on gun ownership as possible.
The kid in Highland Park who looks to me like he's a combination of a seal and a person. I mean, what is that kid should have access to a gun? Good Lord, not in my world.
His father believed it.
Thanks, Pops. Just saying. I mean, I don't.
All I can say is when we got a government so criminally compromised.
You see, the difference between, honestly, political difference between me, who's in the middle now, because the Democratic Party disappeared on me for some reason. Me being in the middle is, I can say this party's position on this particular issue doesn't make sense, and I can say on the other party, I can say that doesn't make sense. But if you're on the right or on the left, you have to defend everything your party does, no matter how stupid it is. And I just, that is unconscionable to me. That even if I was a Republican or a Democrat to the core, I can see one or two things. If I'm a Republican, I go, I can't buy that one. Or if I'm a Democrat, I can't buy that one. But why does everybody have to line up totally behind this mantra when anybody knows that some of the policies are pretty awful? I mean, if I was still a Democrat, spending money and all this stuff, running it down the chain, none of this has changed, Jen, since Nixon and Johnson, for God's sake. Johnson had the Great War on Poverty, all these programs. People stole the money all along the way, except for maybe Head Start, the only one left. And then Tricky Dick comes in, and he wanted to have the negative income tax, which probably wasn't a bad idea, actually. And then everybody said, oh, you can't do that. Look at the moral hazard there. We're still fighting the same battle. Do you try and spend all this money knowing people are stealing along the way, or do you just give money to the rich and say it's going to trickle down to the poor, which it never does? I mean, the parties haven't changed. And there's a lot wrong with both of them, except if you're in one of them, you think it's perfect.
Well, nobody should be, you know, more obviously a shill here for stupid stuff than the Democrats like Brandon Johnson calling for more gun control to stop the shooting violence in Chicago. I mean, talk about a smokescreen.
Well, the city of Chicago...
We have how many levels of gun control, and it doesn't stop anybody from, you know, pulling the trigger and taking out a bunch of people at a street corner. So I would say you can have all the gun control you want, unless something else changes. This is going to continue, and it'll likely get worse. But why are we fighting about gun control?
Well, because the city of Chicago, as you well know, it was illegal to have a handgun for how many years? And yet everybody went to the suburbs and bought them. Well, that didn't make a whole lot of sense if you're a mayor. You sit there and say, okay, everybody's shooting people in my city. You can't buy guns here. Where are they coming from? That's not so good, is it? I don't think.
Well, whatever system, and how much money, you know, does it take to make sure that illegal guns can't get somewhere where people desire it?
Well, I'll tell you what.
That's prohibition, Tom. You know, that's...
Jan,
there's no end to it.
Other countries, and I'm not saying I want to be elected and do this. You know that. If we had a mind to it, could we stop this crime and these guns? The answer is yes. Yes, we could. It would take an amazing amount of effort. It would take an awful lot of strong-arming, but could we do it? Yeah. We don't. I mean, maybe the right people are making money off it, whatever the deal is. But could we do it? Sure, we could. I mean, I've heard people, I think, that are mistaken. I won't say ignorant. You can't stop the drugs. You see somebody in the middle of the street, and they'll actually say, with clear conscience, if you arrest them, they'll just be another person. Well, I know that. I've lived in the city a long time. But I also know if you arrest them and transport them to a jail in Nebraska, and he doesn't get out until he proves that he can have a regular life, maybe goes to school, maybe gets it, and all of a sudden a guy pops up an hour later, and now he's in Nebraska, and all of a sudden after 20 guys, even the dumbest in the hood is going to say, this isn't a career path for me. We don't want to do it. We don't want to put the resources to do it. Maybe the right people are actually making money from the drug trade. John, I'm with you on all that stuff. But the idea that we can't do it, sure we can. They manage to do it.
Right, but it won't come through gun control.
Okay, if every single person who's been caught with a group of guys and a gun is shut away for 20 years, I guarantee you that it would stop it.
Well, if they could just arrest somebody for loitering.
Okay, if you're in Saudi Arabia and you lop the guy's hand off, I don't want to do that. Would you stop it? Yes. Nobody's that dumb. I mean, the idea that we can't, we don't want to. We could.
Yeah, well, show me, you know, any Democrat-run city these days that's going to ask for a tough district attorney or state's attorney to get the job done. Nobody's going to raise their hand. Including the one coming into Cook County at that two time.
I'm just saying, same old again. We have a society. I don't know why you have to point the finger at the Democrats, because if the Republicans proved that they were going to do that, they'd be maybe in on somebody. Plus, in the city,
the Democrats are running the urban centers in this country, Tom, and they're falling apart. You got to say it about Chicago all the time. I agree with you.
These people are not. They may act like Democrats. They're emperors.
They're stupid and crooked.
Okay, but this idea, if we just didn't have these dirty Democrats, everything would be perfect. It's so ignorant, I can't go there.
Well, it's like if we didn't have these darn guns, nobody would be getting hurt.
I'll tell you what, if we didn't have any guns, nobody would be getting shot. I'm not a gun control advocate. The idea is, if I became president, I would not want to have, well, in 4 years, I don't know what you can do in 4 years. At my end of 4 years, my goal would be to not have people think they needed a gun as much as they do now. I mean, I think to tell somebody right now you can't have a gun when there's 400 million in the country, you can't do that. I mean, right? Even if you could possibly get away with it, you can't do that. But now, the idea that there's 20 million of these assault rifles around when 20 years ago there was 400,000, I don't think that's a positive thing to you.
No. And look at, but Tom, look how our mayor handles the ShotSpotter issue. The only reason he's not 100% behind the ShotSpotter issue, by ShotSpotter, and he noticed that he wants it here through the convention, which tells you a great deal, I think. But it's because the statistics that they would be able to assemble from ShotSpotter would belie everything he says about who's responsible for what's going on in Chicago neighborhoods. It would show a huge concentration of shooting episodes in neighborhoods where he doesn't want to admit
the man. The man is totally compromised, and we know that because he's essentially the candidate of the Chicago Teachers Union, which needs to be gone, I think, in a lot of ways.
I'm all for disassembling the school system, Tom. Take a summer and maybe a semester off and start the whole thing all over again. How could we do
it? I don't know. I'm not so sure how you can put a lot of these.
But you will think, Tom, at the convention, because I'm sure Randy Weingarten and Jackson Potter and Stacey Davis Gates, all these people from the CTU will be up and telling you how all they need is more money. It'll be prime time insult time. You wait. What else do they have to talk about?
I'm getting texts here from everybody. If it wasn't for the Democrats, we would have really no problems in this country. I understand that. So you can stop texting me about that. There'd be no problems. I mean, it's so ignorant, I can't even go there. I mean, the Democrats caused how many million people in the world to be on the hook? The Democrats caused the fiasco in Venezuela. Well, everybody wants the hell out of there. I mean, I'm not saying you let everybody cross the border. You know that. But at least I understand. This is a mess. We've never seen a mess to this magnitude, clearly, in my lifetime.
It's the mess they want.
Who's they?
They wouldn't do it. They don't have to.
Who's they?
The Democrats.
Well, there you go. If it wasn't, if we just kill every Democrat, we wouldn't have a problem. I get it. I understand.
Once you decide, that the first day in your office, you reverse all the border policies that have been in place that have reduced the influx of people. It shows you don't care about human
trafficking, let's put
or
up
gun trafficking or drug trafficking, because I'm sure there's a bunch of people on the take that you'd be shocked to find out who they are.
Here's what I'll do. I'll roll with you. Instead of we have drones, we have everything, let's just put a series of machine gun nests on the border, and anybody tries to cross, let's just cut them down. Let's take it to the extreme. Let's go and just cut them down. They don't belong here. We don't care about Venezuela. We don't care about the 10 million refugees in the world. We don't care about any of the people from the Middle East, by the way, that we caused, because we busted up Iraq. And that was, by the way, that was a Republican, wasn't it? That could have been the dumbest thing we've ever done. Well, that's a long list.
Well, I'll tell you, it wouldn't look any better than what the Germans did with unrestricted submarine warfare in World War One. If you're on a neutral flagged ship in a war zone, if you're approaching the border without an escort or evidence of somebody connected to Homeland Security accompanying you, you are an enemy of the state. You shoot them down. Of course, that won't fly. But when you're at war, you do stuff like that.
But we weren't at war. when we invaded Iraq, that I recall. And by the way, it wasn't a declared war when we did it. I'm saying
we don't have to go that far, Tom, to do much better than we decided we should do, is my point. And it's there's a chorus of people on the left and the Democrats have gone along with it. You can presume the reasons why, but it's become, you know, a popular talking point on both sides of the aisle. But the Democrats' way of handling it really has been there is no problem.
I'm very aware, John, that if every single problem in the world I immediately blamed on the Democrats, and if the Republicans are perfect, that I probably have nothing but sponsors for the show. That's where the money is. I get it, but I'm not going to do it because it's not true.
I'll agree with you that stuff like Ukraine and Gaza, these are bipartisan disasters. Both people have their
Iraq was totally a Republican disaster.
But it was fueled by the left press, the New York Times.
What are you talking about?
The Washington Post were all behind this too, Tom. It wasn't just the Republicans.
Everybody.
Obama's promise when he came into office was, you know, all of this would stop. Ha ha.
Well, it's very tough to come out of these places.
But I'm just saying, if we could fix some of the disasters that the Democrats are responsible for, clearly.
But not one of them is a Republican
problem.
It
take a lifetime maybe to fix all of them. But if we decide here is some things that really need to be.
But why do you, I mean, as a very intelligent dude, I wouldn't have you on the show. When you talk about the issues with government, and again, I don't want to pay any more taxes than I'm paying now. Why, when you look at the excess spending on the part of the Democrats, which is there, by the way, you've never heard me disagree on that. Why do you forget the part about Trump's tax decrease that was totally unwarranted, where, you know, corporations went from 35 to 21. When we went by a period of two decades when most of them paid nothing because they were overseas and none of them ever got charged for it. What do you think the total over a 25-year span of a big corporation that was able to move half their crap overseas, what do you think their tax rate per year was for that 25 years? 2%, 3%, 4%? You think that's okay? And yet, if somebody spends a nickel on something that is equally as dumb on the Democratic side, that's a problem. It's the same issue. It's the same dollar, right? One is favoring their voters, and the other is favoring their voters. Well, now the voters are so screwed up that the rich voters are on the Democratic side. It's hard to tell the players without a scorecard now. But it's the same thing.
Who's favored by open borders, then?
Jack, can we stay on the topic? I'm saying, when it comes to the budget deficit...
Well, who benefits from open borders?
What's that got to do with the deficit?
I'm just saying, if you look, I'm not going to fight about money just as money, but I'm looking at policies that need to be reversed immediately, that the Democrats have overlooked and said there's no problem.
I just said I want a machine gun every 15 feet, so why are we arguing about open borders? It shouldn't be.
Okay, well, if you can get that passed, I'll vote for it.
Just machine gun everybody.
But who does it benefit, is my point.
It benefits a lot of people who can't get anybody to work for them, but the idea that they're all going to come across here and be Democratic voters. I can't do it.
We'll
continue this later in the week. But SP futures up 36 now. NASDAQ futures up 210. Whatever's going on, my people are going to make money today, so that part's good. John, thank you. We'll come back. I have a break and we'll come back with Audrey.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here. Right now. Right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Allen, Greg Pappas on the board. We forgot to mention this greatest crowd strikes down another $12 today. Were any of the firms that you deal with at the Board of Trade, was anybody down over there?
Luckily, we were not.
We of our two clearing firms, one had an issue, one did not. They got back up later in the day, but when we don't with Traffic Weather Sports, I'll ask God if there any of the real estate people had issues. But out of all the things that happened this weekend, all we do is fight about the political side. Why does that make me more nervous than the political stuff, that these things are so tied together, they're one oopsie, and all of a sudden everything goes down? I don't know if I like that at all, but I sure as hell can't do much about that. Dow futures are up 68. Over in Asia, we've got the Nikkei was down 464. That's kind of odd. They were, before we started to turn up, I think they were closed. But it's under 40,000, 39,599. Hang Seng up 218. That's 1.25%. 17,635. They had a horrible week last week. Shanghai down 18. They're at 29,64, so they're going different directions, which, again, they do that a lot these days. Over in Europe, pretty big rally here. DAX up 254. That's 1.4%. FTSE up 66.8. CAC around up 99, 1.3. So CAC around's made back a real lot of what they lost with the election issues. And they made some of that back, a lot of that back. Friday, Dow was down 377. Of course, they were up a huge the day before, so don't worry too much about that. S&P was down 39, which is right about what we are up today. The NASDAQ was down 144, and we're up way more than that today. So whatever we lost on Friday, it looks like we're getting back today. Bonds down 2 basis points, 4.22. The Bund unchanged, 2.47. Japan up 2 basis points, 1.06. Oil down 51 cents, 79.62. So it was a... We'll ask Greg when we come back. But it's a big move. It's down from down $3 from Friday morning, I think. Brent down 50 cents, 82.13. Natural gas up 9 cents, 2.21. Arbob up down a penny, 2.43. We've got gold up only 20 cents now, back under 2,400, 23.99.30. Silver down 20 cents, 29.09. Copper down 5 cents, 4.17. We've got foreign exchange. The dollar was weakening a little. It is a little bit, with the euro 108.9, and the British pound is at one. British pound's actually unchanged. The dollar's doing, I'm going to say nothing here. Crypto, Bitcoin's up 362, 67,681. They've been like the biggest winner as we've gone through this political mess the last week. Bitcoin's up like huge. Greg, what do you got for us, Trevi Weather Sports?
Morning, everyone. It is 7:38 here in Chicago. 71 degrees, partly sunny, possible showers later. High of 78 today here. Phoenix, 86 now, mostly cloudy and very warm. Thunderstorms late afternoon there with a high of 110. Traffic, we have inbound Kennedy from Montrose is 33 minutes. Edens from Lake Cook, 52 minutes. Eisenhower from Wolf is 36 minutes. The Ryan from 95th is 19 minutes. And 294 to the Ryan is 29 minutes. That's the Stevenson. MLB, Sox lose at Royals, that was 1-4. Diamondbacks lose at Wrigley, the walk-off walk, that was 1-2.
I like that, the walk-off walk.
Yeah, and WNBA All-Stars beat the U.S. Olympic team, that was interesting, 117.
Why do you think they shouldn't?
Well, a lot of people would say Caitlin Clark and I don't know how to say her name.
The lady here?
Agaki.
She's Notre Dame.
Yeah, she cleaned up in the second half. She had like 34 points.
She's a hell of a player. She's very articulate, very bright, and very attractive, by the way.
Yeah, she wiped the floor with the U.S. Olympic team. But I guess that's happened before, so the Olympic team looks to recover after that.
If the NBA's All-Stars played the Olympic team, they'd wipe them up too.
And the Open, Xander Schauffele won, and that's his second major this year. He won the PGA Championship and now the Open. Unbelievable.
You know who put the Open on the map from this side of the pond?
From this side of the pond?
Yeah.
I thought it was always pretty big.
No, God, no. It was, at one point, the prize was like $2,500 or something.
Oh.
Arnold Palmer said, if you don't win over there, you can't say you're the best golfer in the world. He went over there and won like a couple years in a row.
Very interesting.
He was a massive star over there. Anyway, we have Aud. Aud, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Hey, real quick, Greg, what happened Friday in the oil patch? It was 82 something, and now it's under 80. Was there some announcement Friday afternoon? that I missed?
Not that I know of.
It was down pretty heavy. Actually, we might have been up in the morning, but you know, stuff's kind of all over the place on this commodity trade. But kind of within ranges, though, isn't it? So, Ed, what did your guys go down on the any of your the real estate stuff? All your communication work, did that go down last week or no?
Not from that. We went down when the hurricane in Texas. Our servers, for some reason, are located down there, and we were down for like a day and a half. But some of the banks up here were funny. My bank, I, of course, run over, and you think you're going to use the electronic stuff. And not only was it not on, but the bank was closed. I'm like, okay, I don't think it's Saturday, but let me check my watch here. And I had to go to three different branches, and one for some reason they were the only ones who were up, and nobody else had
branches. So one branch of the same bank.
We're only one terrorist attack, cyber attack away from mass chaos.
Aren't the both of you guys? Aren't you kind of surprised how tied together all this is? I mean, I'm kind of stunned.
No, what's there to be surprised about?
I don't know. I think people should be smarter than that, evidently, or not.
So the CEO of CrowdStrike was the guy in charge at McAfee before that before they were sold because they were so incompetent.
I'm a Luddite when it comes to this stuff. I really wouldn't think that the same stuff that would cause an outage in airplanes in Australia would affect Audrey's bank. I mean, I guess I would hope that wouldn't happen, but it did.
Yeah,
it makes me nervous, I guess. What can I say?
The guy who's in charge at CrowdStrike was the chief technology officer at McAfee before. That was 2010 when they went down spectacularly.
Really?
Nothing like failing up.
Yeah, no kidding. Odd, real estate industry, what's going on there? I mean, doesn't it seem really odd that one of the branches of Odd's bank was gone and the rest of them weren't? I mean, I'm at a loss to explain this.
No, I don't know either, but hey, Ozzy will at least get some money out of the bank. I think people have gotten very complacent. You know, people that I think used to, at least my mom and dad, they used to keep some money at home, like hidden somewhere into their stash in case you had to get to it, but we're so used to be able to just go through a drive-through and get your money out of the cash station or whatever that, you know, or use your electronic cash, your credit card, your Apple Pay, whatever, that people forget that if something happens, you get a power outage, a grid failure, a cybersecurity problem, and you don't have access to anything. You can't even check out of a store. So they are in incredible dependence on the safety and security of of everything that makes this all run is phenomenal, let alone our government and our military, who is so dependent on these same systems, that's what's actually frightening. That's in charge of the missile silos and strikes and our radar, all very scary.
Take
us off the electrical grid.
Yeah. Well, when you go to a closing now, if somebody misadded it and it's a couple hundred bucks difference, you can't just pull $200 out of your pocket and give the other side, can you? Doesn't it have to wire or something?
No, that has to be, they just, and literally, you get your information 3 days before to review, and then it's reviewed the day of with the final closing documents. And, if something's off, they can adjust it on site because you're dealing directly with the lender and the title company. That's why you have the closing. Everybody's fingers have to agree.
Okay. Well, what's going on in your business? My term last week, shockflation, I ran into some people Friday night, and one of the guy's air conditioner just went out, and the bid was like $7,000 for a new one. He was absolutely stunned. I think he was going out to buy a couple of window units. Said, there's no way I can afford it.
That's a little excessive, unless you've got a unit the size of a Volkswagen. That's a little.
Well, he got.
That is just being ripped off completely.
Well, from a private guy. If a private guy was $3,700, then he called one of the people that advertised a lot, and they wanted $7,000. So, you know, whatever. That doesn't surprise me. But you went and looked at a house this weekend, and some of the add-ons, you were kind of stunned at the price.
I was. It was very interesting. There's a beautiful development coming up here in Orland of townhomes. And, of course, I, being the nosy realtor I am, I wanted to see what they looked like. And I walked in, and I knew the starting price was for two bedrooms. This was at $699,000. This is starting price. And okay, I'll give you that. But if you go in and get one completely tricked out, it's over $1 million.
That's a.
I was floored.
Well, wait a minute. Toilet $2,000. Toilet that flushes $4,000. I mean, you know, it adds up.
Was absolutely floored they have several under contract over $1 million.
I was amazed.
I mean, they are beautiful, and it's in a great spot of Orland, and the construction and the detail work is beautiful. I was just amazed.
Who's the buyer for that? Is it somebody who has a current home and sells theirs?
Rich people.
Well, obviously, but I mean, is it? You can get there.
No, you know what? It's not even your rich person. It is a lot of the baby boomers who want to stay in the area. This is everywhere. It's not just Orland Park. They want to stay in the area they grew up and raised their kids in. Their grandkids and friends are close. Your church, your doctors, whatever is close. Your life is close to you, and you don't maybe want to move out of the area. And especially in an infill area where there is no land in any, you know, infill suburb, whether it's like a Park Ridge, Oakbrook in Orland Park, where the land is pretty well built up. It's everything's at a premium. So the prices are up there. But your buyer is somebody who's selling their house right now, probably that's been paid off for a while, for a ton of money to, you know, probably way more than the people thought they were going to get. So if they sell their house that they bought for $400, for $700, maybe they put a couple hundred grand out of their retirement fund and get what they want to get. But they are being sold.
So it's not, I've never seen anything really like this. I mean, I've read about it during the 20s, but if I wasn't here, the difference between when we grew up bought it was kind of an income society. You know, the person who made more than the guy next door got to...
Because you couldn't make more than you make now. That's the difference.
Yeah, I mean, the guy who had the nicer car made, you know, $8 an hour, and the other guy made $6. But it wasn't... You didn't have the generational wealth. I mean, there always was the Rockefellers and stuff, but we don't have anybody like that. But the generational wealth kind of was seemingly in the East, for lack of a better term. But now it's this... It's the wealth bubble wealth. It's the person who was given the stock by their parents, and by the way, they get to sell it and not pay capital gains tax on it, which is kind of nuts, but that happens. Or they just get some money from Ma and Pa, and they made money on their house, and all of a sudden, you know, you're kind of trading dollars, and which is, there's nothing wrong with that. That's the phenomenon. And I think... in your area, and you, because you have been in the business so long and you know so many people and so many referrals, you're picking up like a lot of that. But I wouldn't mind you doing, if you don't mind. Last week you were talking about how different groups of people are sort of colliding at the same price point. We said some people can't afford because they had a 3% mortgage on their house before and they have to sell it. They're actually downsizing. And now they can't afford the same price. They got to do less. And they're kind of crowding out or competing with the first-time buyers. Could you elaborate on that a little bit? Because that was pretty interesting, I thought.
Well, I think it's just more people scrambling for the same thing. So you have your first-time buyers. And entry level is around 350 to 4 out here, which is a number. And then maybe you'll have your people who are in a house that they could sell for 350 to 450, and they want to move up to maybe the $600, $700, $100,000 range, which might be a natural progression. You take that money and put it in the other house, you get the bigger house, the pool, whatever you want. But now with the interest rates, which essentially is almost doubling your mortgage payment, even if somebody has to move for whatever reason, health, family situation, job, you can't afford to double your mortgage payment and double, to go even a quarter up in your purchase price if you're also going to more than double your mortgage payment. If you're paying cash, it's one thing. But if you have to factor in a mortgage payment that is that high, then those people are going to have to be stuck, even if they have to move, in the same price range. So they're going to either trade across or trade down to get the same, to get a living situation. So that's a big problem right now. So everybody is back fighting for the same piece of pie because they can't break out of that constraint caused by the high mortgage rates.
Lord White, this is a two-part question. Why hasn't it, or has it, obviously when you go to buy a home and Nancy starts to put together your mortgage package, like I say, assuming you need a mortgage, some of these people you're talking about don't, assuming you do, part of the package is, okay, it's your monthly nut, which is equal roughly to your mortgage on the house, your insurance, your taxes, and by the way, some number for maintenance, one would think, and depending on how good a shape the house is. I mean, clearly if you buy new, you would think that the maintenance number for at least the first few years should be zero or close to it, which is why people like new or newly remodeled. How much of an effect is it or should it be having that the taxes appear to be up some number, 20%, 25%, 30%, 15%, depending on where you are in this area, and the insurance rates seem to have gone way up. I mean, some of them are up, even in the CPIs, admitting to 20%. So is that now becoming more of a, when Nancy sits down with somebody, it's got to be affecting someplace along the line. It's got to affect
everything.
That, yeah.
All of these pile-on rates obviously affects everybody's decision. And I have clients who are looking at the senior citizen developments that kind of ring the Chicago area, north to south, that have like the golf on site and beautiful grounds and clubhouses and pools and activities, kind of self-contained.
These are like Del Webb sort of things?
Exactly. And there are some of them are Del Webb. And the newer ones that are coming up way up north, I think there are some in Harvard, somewhere around Marengo, somewhere around there, but there is a ton out west here, Naperville, Aurora, that type of thing. And the new ones are not cheap. I mean, you're talking about things, a nice one that's maybe 1,900 to 2,200 square feet, you're talking right or maybe around 650 to 7, but the kicker is the taxes for a lot of people that are $17,000-$18,000 plus your monthly maintenance fee. So even if you're a senior looking to get into one of these communities, the tax bill is, most people go, oh my god, do I want, unless you're really really wealthy, $18,000 a year it's a lot of money for most people.
So it's $2,000 a month with the maintenance after you pay to place cash.
Well, the maintenance is separate. So let's say it's somewhere between, $250 and $500 a month, depending where you're at.
All right. So taxes are $1,500. The maintenance for the pool and all the other crap is another $500. And insurance on your place is $100, say, and probably not that much. You're talking $2,100 a month after you bought the place. That's a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like you're paying rent, for God's sake, after you bought it.
Just think, though, if you were a person who in the, let's say, 80s, let's say the 90s, well, not even we don't have to go back that far. Let's go back to when Amazon, Netflix, NVIDIA, all became popular. What is that? Maybe 10 years ago, roughly?
Yeah.
If you just bought, a 100 shares of each of these stocks, let's say you bought 500 shares, you don't ever have to worry about anything again.
Yeah, what if he bought 500?
At least for the average, average middle class person could live well on that.
What if he bought 500 shares of Sears? Not so good.
Right. Well, you know, and that's it. But even the average person who just invested in, you know, maybe a high growth fund or the S&P 500 or the NASDAQ, put your money in the NASDAQ, you're looking pretty smart.
Well, yeah. I mean, I mean, obviously the buy and hold theory is when you bought and when you held it too, right? Well, that's my point. What has happened, we've pushed up.
Like anything, you got to be in the right spot. Timing is everything.
Well, we've never had a period since, clearly since 2007, 2008. We've never had a period where, despite, I'm not arguing with my guys anymore, whether it's Democrat or Republican, we've never had a period where governmental policy has absolutely favored owners versus anybody else. For really talking, we're pushing 20 years, maybe go back to 2000. And it's made a tremendous difference in this country in terms of wealth. And in the people who, I'm not saying it's on purpose, I'm not saying it's whatever, but I'm saying if you don't recognize it, you're just not looking. I mean, you're just not looking. We've tripled or quadrupled the money supply, and which means you pump stuff up and people that own stuff goes higher. Stocks go higher through no fault of the person who bought the company, and the other stuff, income has not kept pace. That has gone on now for 24, 25 years. You can point fingers at one party or another, or at the man in the moon, I don't know, but the fact is it's happened. I mean, right, Ed? I mean, it's not even close. I mean,
I'm not saying you're right.
What?
I'm not saying you're right. I'll think about it.
Well, I know nobody's going to agree with me ever. That part I get. But I mean, the idea, I mean, what is a house? I mean, if you are, I mean, I'll kick this up here, even though I probably shouldn't. I mean, what the average in 2007, the average house price was what? 1,235, and now it's 410. That's up, that's an easy, what is it? It's 80%. Well, you know, if you look at the CPI and people's increases in wages, they're 20%. So who's a big winner? Is the guy who owned a house. Now, should it be that much higher compared to other stuff? Most people might say no, but if you own the house, you'd say yes, right? I mean,
homeownership has always been the stepping stone to wealth since we started here. If you owned your house, you got a foothold, and then you maybe invested in property, and you bought a two flat or a four flat. And I read a book once that said that, and it's true. If you could have managed to accumulate 10 properties in your lifetime, picking up a single family house, a whatever, a flat building, that you will never need to have to work again. That was also an interesting concept. And many people built their American dream on that concept.
Oh, sure, without a doubt. And I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, owning stuff is a really good thing. Now, the question is, how fast? I mean, you could go decades in New York where there were people who owned the buildings and people who rented. And now everybody, if the building goes up 2-4% a year with the rest of the stuff, I don't think anybody has a problem with it. But all of a sudden, if the building goes up 15% and people's salaries go up 2%, now you have a discontinuity of some sort. And, you know, that's a little different, right, Art? I mean, than just, yes, if you were a peer...
And this is a little different way of thinking of, but what I think triggered this whole mess, which sounded good in the beginning, is the extremely low interest rates triggered a housing scramble because so many people could buy one.
Yep. Oh, without a doubt.
2-3%, which to me is free money. Everybody bought a house, which created a shortage of housing, okay, because everybody, instead of renting or whatever, wanted a house. So that extreme, everybody piling in, accelerated things and created an artificial environment and unrealistic expectations. And when we did go up, the housing was so intense, the squeeze, that it took the prices up because there's nothing there. You still have to live somewhere, and here we are.
Well, without a doubt. I mean, so I'm saying, whenever you screw up the economic system one way or the other, you have these things that happen, and when they happen, it ends up uneven for people. But hey, thank you very much. talk to you. Nancy's back on next Monday, right? She's back?
Yep. Nancy will be back next week.
All right. Well, you take care of yourself. SP Futures up 32, and NASDAQ Futures up 200. We're up for a rally today. We had a bad week last week. We could use a rally. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jocks.
That's all, folks.